Thank you for joining us for today's call. Before I turn the call over to the company, we need to advise you of the following. Comments made on today's call may contain forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These forward-looking statements are based on current assumptions and opinions and involve a variety of known and unknown risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those contained in or suggested by such forward-looking statements. Important factors that might cause such differences include those set forth from time to time in the company's SEC filings, including the company's report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31st, 2014, and other current and periodic reports the company files with the SEC. At this time, I'd like to introduce Andrew Perlman, the Chief Executive Officer of Ringo.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for taking the time to discuss today's acquisition of International Development Group, or IDG, and an update on our global enforcement actions. If you've not received a copy of the press release or the presentation Ringo issued this morning, you can find them on the homepage of Ringo's website. Joining me today on the call are members of the Ringo and IDG teams. From Ringo, we have Anastasia Nierkovskaya, our Chief Financial Officer, David Cohen, our Chief Legal and Intellectual Property Officer, and Cliff Weinstein, our Executive Vice President. And from the IDG team, we have Randy Marks, the Chief Executive Officer of IDG, Kevin Hibbard, the Vice President of Product Development of FlyCharge, and Stephanie Kreitner, the Executive Vice President of Group Mobile. We'd like to start by saying we are extremely excited about today's announcement and believe that this acquisition presents an opportunity to create significant value and diversification for our shareholders. But before discussing the details of the acquisition, I would like to briefly touch upon the recent news from the Supreme Court and its decision not to hear, let alone reverse, the Court of Appeals decision in our case against Google. We continue to believe that the Court of Appeals' split 2-1 decision was misguided and incorrect, as argued in Judge Chen's dissenting opinion. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court's decision has put an end to that case. It goes without saying that it is extremely frustrating to our entire team, our legal partners, and most importantly, our investors. However, we cannot dwell on the past. We must move forward. Together with our investors, we've gone through many ups and downs. The last few years have been filled with excitement, oftentimes frustration, and certainly lots of volatility. As a management team, we are very excited about Ringo's acquisition of IDG, and we are confident it will help propel our company forward. In May of this year, Ringo was introduced to IDG as IDG was seeking advice on how to handle a particular situation related to its patent portfolio. This type of inbound inquiry is rather common at Ringo and has been a great pipeline for deal flow. Our initial call occurred in May of this year and left our team with the impression that this opportunity could be much bigger than simply giving patent advice. After a few weeks of diligence, we became interested in acquiring the entire company. Today's announcement is the culmination of an extensive due diligence process, which included many on-site visits to IDG's offices in Arizona and Michigan, on-site visits and lengthy due diligence calls with their current and potential partners, as well as financial due diligence conducted by a top four accounting firm. I'll now provide an overview of the acquisition and will then turn the call over to David Cohen to provide an update on our ongoing intellectual property enforcement actions around the world. At the end of the call, we'll have a brief question and answer session. IDG is a holding company consisting of two primary businesses, FlyCharge, a wire-free charging technology company, and Group Mobile, a supplier of made-to-order rugged computers, mobile devices, and accessories. In 2014, the combined companies had total revenue of over $7 million, and we believe that the combination with Ringo will provide IDG with the necessary resources to accelerate growth by increasing market awareness and brand identity, which in turn will create value for our shareholders stemming directly from the development, manufacturing, distribution, and sales of innovative products and technologies. Ringo is acquiring a 100% ownership of IDG in exchange for shares of Ringo preferred stock that are convertible into common stock, representing approximately 11% of the combined company on a fully diluted basis. No additional payments will be due to IDG shareholders from Ringo There are no registration requirements associated with these shares, and they will be eligible for sale via Rule 144 six months after closing. I'd like to begin by talking about Flycharge. Founded in 2014, Flycharge owns a patented conductive wireless charging technology that is already on the market and available to consumers. The patented Flycharge technology consists of a wire-free charging solution that can simultaneously charge multiple battery-operated devices on the same charging pad, regardless of their power requirement or position on the pad. Users just have to place their enabled device onto a Flycharge pad. In an effort to avoid any confusion as we go through this call, I'd like to highlight that Flycharge's conductive wireless technology is very different from the numerous inductive wireless charging technologies that have become the subject of growing discussion over the past few years. Many companies have developed and commercialized various types of inductive wireless charging solutions, which, despite all of the R&D, marketing, and sales efforts, have not gained any serious traction. After months of due diligence, speaking with Flycharge's numerous partners, and using Flycharge's products ourselves, our conclusion is that Flycharge's conductive technology is vastly superior to its competitors' inductive technologies because it is more convenient, more flexible, and more efficient. Most inductive charging systems require device-specific charging pads, require the user to carefully line up the device with sensors or rings on the charging surface, and limit the user to only charging one device at a time. Simply put, the limitations of inductive charging cancel out the convenience of wireless charging. With Flycharge, none of these limitations exist. You can charge numerous devices of virtually any type simply by placing them anywhere on the surface of the Flycharge pad. For illustration purposes, let's consider a family of five that charges their smartphone while sitting down to dinner. With most inductive wireless charging solutions, this family will need five distinct charging pads. In addition to taking up a lot of counter space, each of these five charging pads will need to be plugged into an electrical outlet, which is on its own inconvenient, not to mention the additional clutter that will result from all of the cables. In contrast, with Flycharge's conductive wireless charging solution, this family of five needs just one charging pad. A single Flycharge pad will simultaneously charge all of their smartphones and require just one electrical outlet. When it comes to power delivery, no competing wire-free technologies even come close to Flycharge's conductive technology. Commercially available inductive chargers are limited to about 5 watts, which can charge a single low-power device, such as a smartphone. On the other hand, Flycharge currently offers 15-, 20-, and 90-watt pads, which can charge higher-power devices or multiple devices simultaneously. For example, Flycharge's 90-watt pad can charge up to 12 smartphones and 3 tablets at the same time. Flycharge is now completing work on a 150-watt pad that will be used to charge even higher-powered devices, such as batteries for power tools, or to charge a large quantity of devices, such as 20 tablets for a high school classroom. Lastly, unlike the inductive charging systems, Flycharge's wire-free charging systems can charge devices as fast as plugging the device directly into the wall. In some cases, this is twice as fast as the leading inductive chargers on the market. And Flycharge technology is not limited to mobile phones. It can be used in a virtually unlimited number of devices and range of applications. The team at Flycharge has made great strides into building an ecosystem around its technology through partnerships in numerous environments. Flycharge is currently commercializing, partnering, or developing in markets including automotive, education, office, healthcare, power tools, and vaporizers. In many of these key verticals, the company has already identified and begun working in conjunction with a key partner to bring this technology to market. In the automotive market, Flycharge's technology can be found in several Ford, Chrysler, and Toyota models as standard equipment or optional upgrades. In addition to factories and dealers installing their technology, on March 15th of this year, Flycharge announced a partnership with Mito, a leading distributor of high-technology electronics to the transportation industry for aftermarket installations in the auto, commercial, marine, and RV markets. Mito currently has an established footprint in 9,000 dealerships across North America and together we are preparing for a national product launch at the SEMA show in early November. The educational office and healthcare markets are additional examples of where FlyCharge's technology is gaining footholds. In March 2014, FlyCharge signed a partnership and licensing agreement with Bretford Manufacturing. Bretford designs and manufactures smart furniture solutions that support evolving technological needs. Through their partnership with FlyCharge, Bretford is developing wire-free charging solutions for products such as tables, desks, carts, trays, and charging stations. The first public demonstrations of this technology will start to take place in 2015, followed by beta system installations in the first quarter of 2016. The final product is planned to launch at NeoCon in June of 2016, less than 1 year from now. In education, tablets and laptops are becoming a standard tool to augment students' experiences in the classroom. According to a 2014 study issued by Project Tomorrow, 33% of high school students and 31% of middle and elementary school students use school-issued mobile devices, figures that are only expected to grow. For those students, as well as teachers, instead of worrying about the clutter of countless charging cables or having to find a spare charger for a dead device, FlyCharge enables students and teachers to charge their devices by sliding them into FlyCharge-enabled carts or by placing them on their FlyCharge-enabled classroom desks. No need to plug in, no need to carry a charger, no need to worry about whether or not your tablet will be charged. Before moving on, I would like to mention an additional application FlyCharge has been testing in the educational market. As schools try to keep up with this technological revolution, many are running into problems related to bringing access to electricity to more of the classroom. The average school in the United States is 41 years old, built a time long before anyone imagined that it would be necessary to supply each student with their own dedicated electrical outlet. FlyCharge, in partnership with Bretford, has developed a cost-effective and safe conductive flooring solution that can provide power to an entire classroom. Concepts similar to these apply to and are being tested in office environments as well as hospitals. I'd like to highlight a few additional markets that FlyCharge will be pursuing immediately. In July 2015, Worden Furniture introduced InCharge, an innovative line of conductive furniture developed by FlyCharge and its partners. The system provides a unique way to couple conductive power from the wall or floor to tables, chairs, couches, and other furniture down the line. Furniture can be reconfigured quickly and easily to create completely different environments. FlyCharge conductive charging pads are built into the top of tables, providing wire-free power for phones, tablets, and other devices. In the vaporizer market, one of the biggest challenges is keeping the vaporizing devices, commonly referred to as mods, charged. FlyCharge is currently speaking to one of the leading manufacturers of mods about solving this problem by embedding FlyCharge's conductive technology directly into the mods and external battery chargers. For those that are not aware, the vaporizer market is experiencing dramatic growth. Since 2008, more than 8,500 dedicated vaporizer retail stores have opened in the United States, and annual sales of mods and related supplies have reached $3.5 billion. Last, FlyCharge offers a selection of phone cases, charging pads, and USB power disks that can charge virtually any USB-powered device direct to consumer on its website. We expect that these products will soon be available through other outlets as well. In addition to cases and skins for Apple and Samsung smartphones, we plan to launch several new products that will enable other mobile devices, such as iPads, as well as additional manufacturers' products, to charge on FlyCharge charging pads. We also plan to launch our high-power universal adapter that is capable of charging and powering devices that require more power, such as laptops and video monitors. I'd now like to discuss IDG's other subsidiary company, Group Mobile. Founded in 2002, Group Mobile is a market-leading supplier of built-to-order rugged computers, mobile devices, and accessories. Group Mobile provides a high-touch sales experience with full-service technical and customer support in the $5 billion-plus rugged mobile computer market. Group Mobile offers thousands of products, including rugged laptops, rugged mobile handsets, rugged tablets, rugged accessories, and is an authorized dealer of more brands than any other rugged retailer. These brands include Panasonic, G-Tech, Explore, Motion, Trimble, Gamatac, and several others. Their list of clients includes companies like Juniper, Honeywell, and several municipalities. Rugged products sold by Group Mobile can be found in military helicopters, police cruisers, and ambulance fleets, as well as on construction sites, oil rigs, and manufacturing facilities. Group Mobile's primary business is large custom orders, unlike what most people would consider a typical e-commerce site. Group Mobile custom tailors full-scale rugged computing solutions for large purchases. The size and complexity of orders matched with superior customer service will allow Group Mobile to maintain high margins relative to other players in similar reseller markets. In the upcoming weeks and months, we will be implementing a series of enhancements to the Group Mobile business. First, we will be adding additional products and services. Separately, we will strive to improve awareness of the company as well as the goods and services it provides. We will do this by making improvements to its website, improving search engine optimization and targeted advertising, leveraging social media, expanding its sales force, adding additional manufacturers to the product catalog, and taking advantage of volume discounts and manufacturer specials. We believe these immediate action items will quickly result in higher margins and will demonstrate the scalability of the company. With regard to our ongoing litigations with ZTE and others, we have made great progress over the course of the past year and a half. I'll now turn the call over to David Cohen to discuss in more detail our monetization efforts with respect to our telecom portfolio as it relates to enforcement actions against ZTE.
Thank you, Andrew. Since we acquired our infrastructure patent portfolio in 2012, Vringo has worked hard to secure ZTE as a licensee to Vringo's patent portfolio. Vringo continues to offer ZTE a license on fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory, or FRAND, terms. Because of ZTE's reluctance to accept such a license, we have been forced to sue ZTE for patent infringement and have done so in 9 countries around the world. It is now more than 3 years into our litigations against ZTE, and ZTE still refuses to negotiate a FRAND license in good faith. Rather, using legal process, ZTE is actively obstructing Vringo's licensing efforts globally. ZTE has filed and continues to file multiple meritless actions against Vringo in courts around the world. The vast majority of these filings have been decidedly rejected. In fact, judges have begun to take notice of ZTE's improper use of procedural mechanisms to collaterally attack and relitigate decisions unfavorable to ZTE. A prime example of this kind of behavior can be seen in ZTE's lawsuit against Vringo filed in a Chinese court system that has in the past apparently favored Chinese corporations. Moreover, at ZTE's behest, the National Resources Development Council of China, or NDRC, began an investigation into Vringo in a manner that has led to aggressive treatment of Vringo and its management, including me personally, and threats of worse. We believe that the consequences of ZTE's actions may have prevented or delayed other Chinese companies from licensing our technology. In addition, Vringo believes that ZTE, a company part-owned by the Chinese government, has actively sought to affect Vringo's share price in a futile attempt to prevent Vringo from adequately funding its business. These tactics are detailed in Vringo's latest amended complaint in its litigation against ZTE in the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York, which is publicly available on Pacer and available on Vringo's website. I would like to point out, as we have reiterated to ZTE time and time again, that despite ZTE's recalcitrance, Vringo remains willing to license its portfolio to ZTE on FRAND terms. Vringo has twice provided ZTE with proposed licensing term sheets. Both times, ZTE failed to provide any comments. Vringo has proposed to have a United Kingdom court, a New York federal court, and a neutral arbiter body adjudicate an appropriate license for the parties. ZTE has rejected these proposals. ZTE has also feigned interest in negotiating the terms of a license several times, which has resulted in Vringo providing ZTE with confidential material that ZTE later used to sue Vringo in China in express violation of a non-disclosure agreement between the parties. Nonetheless, we continue to honor our FRAND commitments and remain fully willing to negotiate a license with ZTE unless or until a court rules that ZTE's actions have discharged Vringo's FRAND obligations. ZTE has asserted it would not take a license to any Vringo patents until those patents are proved valid and infringed by a court of law. So unfortunately, until that time that ZTE becomes willing to actually negotiate the terms of a license on FRAND terms, Vringo will have to proceed with its patent infringement litigation against ZTE in courts around the world. I will now provide a brief update on the status of a number of our lawsuits against ZTE. In the United Kingdom, Vringo is in the midst of the remedy phase of the litigation in which the UK High Court has found the patent in suit, a Vringo Standard Essential patent, valid and infringed. The damages trial will occur in January of 2016, and we will likely know the outcome before March of 2016. In the United States, two lawsuits are pending in the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. The first lawsuit was brought by Vringo against ZTE for breaching a non-disclosure agreement. The court has granted a temporary restraining order and a preliminary injunction against ZTE, and has held that ZTE breached its non-disclosure agreement with Vringo by providing Vringo's confidential materials to a Chinese court. ZTE has also admitted that it provided Vringo's confidential materials to Chinese regulators, to Google, to ZTE's PR company, and to others. Vringo has filed an amended complaint in order to plead additional causes of action against ZTE. The second lawsuit was originally brought by ZTE against Vringo in federal court in Delaware, arguing that Vringo had breached its FRAND commitments. At Vringo's request, that case was transferred to New York and consolidated for discovery with the NDA lawsuit. And Vringo has brought counterclaims against ZTE for ZTE's breach of FRAND commitments and has asked the court to set a global FRAND rate. Vringo has filed a motion for sanctions in both of these U.S. cases in response to ZTE's extensive discovery violations. Among other remedies, our motion asks the court to grant case dispositive sanctions. We invite investors to review these pleadings, which are publicly available on PACER, in order to learn more about these additional allegations. In Brazil, ZTE has been enjoined from commercializing 3G and 4G LTE infrastructure equipment since April 15, 2014. Following an inspection of ZTE's Brazilian facilities, court-appointed experts found that ZTE has violated the terms of the injunction by continuing to commercialize implicated equipment. Vringo is seeking all available legal remedies as a result of ZTE's breach. ZTE has unsuccessfully attempted more than 10 times to have the preliminary injunction against it overturned. Vringo continues to vigorously defend against ZTE's attempt to circumvent the court's order. We are currently awaiting the infringement trial court's ruling of the appropriate sanction for ZTE's violation of the injunction. Germany has been an important forum for us due to the country's position as Europe's largest economy and the strength of our patents in this market. In Germany, the court found in late 2013 that ZTE infringed one of Vringo's standard essential patents. ZTE has appealed that ruling, and the court is expected to hear ZTE's appeal in late 2015. We believe that ZTE has continued to violate that injunction, and we have secured an order requiring ZTE's CEO and the CEO of ZTE Germany to swear, subject to criminal penalty, that ZTE has not violated the injunction. Earlier this year, the German Patents Court also held that the same Vringo Standard Essential patent that was found valid and infringed by ZTE in the United Kingdom has been upheld as valid in Germany. The hearing on ZTE's infringement of that patent is expected to take place in the first quarter of next year. In Romania, ZTE Romania has been enjoined from commercializing 3G and 4G LTE infrastructure equipment since June 2014. Following an inspection of ZTE Romania's facilities, Vringo believes that ZTE Romania has violated the terms of the injunction by continuing to commercialize implicated equipment. Vringo is seeking all available legal remedies as a result of ZTE Romania's breach. ZTE Romania has unsuccessfully attempted more than 11 times to have the preliminary injunction against it overturned, and Vringo continues to vigorously defend against ZTE Romania's increasingly desperate attempts to circumvent the court's order. In France, Vringo awaits the court's ruling of the patent infringement hearing held in last April. We anticipate this will occur before the end of the year. In India, Vringo awaits the court's ruling on whether ZTE is in contempt of court for underreporting sales contrary to court order, and whether the court will order additional fees deposited into court for each infringing product. We expect a ruling before the end of the year. In Malaysia, trial is scheduled for the first quarter of 2016. This case involves ZTE 4G LTE infrastructure equipment. Vringo is seeking damages and a permanent injunction. In Netherlands, late last year, the court found that one of Vringo's standard essential patents was prima facie valid and infringed by ZTE, and that Vringo did not violate European competition law. We expect the final judgment on validity later this year and infringement trial to occur in late 2016. In China, Vrengo continues to defend itself against ZTE's frivolous claim that Vrengo violated China's anti-monopoly law, a claim that depends on evidence presented to the court in breach of an NDA between the parties. Vrengo also continues to defend itself against an investigation by the NDRC, which, as I stated before, has resulted in the aggressive treatment of Vrengo's management at the hands of the Chinese government. In addition, Vrengo continues to defend numerous patent invalidity actions filed by ZTE against Vrengo's Chinese patents, none of which have been asserted against ZTE in China. I will now hand the call back to Andrew.
Thanks, David. If you take one message away from David's summary of Vrengo's litigation against ZTE, it should be that Vrengo is prevailing in its actions against ZTE around the world. Judges around the world are siding with Vrengo, and Vrengo remains confident in its litigation strategy. However, despite ZTE's record of bad faith, apparent failure to abide by court orders, and use every mechanism available at disposal to attempt to depress Vrengo's stock price and impose government pressure on Vrengo in China, Vrengo still remains fully willing to negotiate a license to its patent portfolio with ZTE on FRAND terms and invite ZTE to enter into real, good faith negotiations to resolve the differences between the parties amicably. I want to close by reiterating how excited we are to complete the acquisition of IDG and mention some of the key milestones that investors will see in the coming months and years ahead. As you can imagine, you will continue to see additional events in Vrengo's licensing and enforcement efforts, including and beyond ZTE. With Flycharge, we will be working hard to add exciting channel and licensing partners, as well as scale our direct-to-consumer sales, which will in turn support our existing partners. With Group Mobile, we'll continue to grow and look forward to announcing a revamped website, as well as exciting new products and services. I want to take the opportunity to thank our shareholders for their continued support. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to the operator for Q&A.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If at any time your question has been answered, you can remove yourself from the queue by pressing 1. If you are using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we poll for questions. And our first question comes from David Hoff. Please state your question.
Hi, Andrew. I have two quick questions. Congratulations on the announcement and acquisition this morning. I was just trying to get an idea of, future revenue, anything that you kind of have modeled. I see $7 million in 2014. Do we have, what we're on track for 2015 and kind of some future projections?
First of all, thanks for your support, and I appreciate the question, David.
No problem.
We're not going to give guidance in terms of revenue, but we very clearly think that this is a business that we can grow rapidly, not just on the Group Mobile side, but separately on the Flycharge side. I think one of the important things to note is that Flycharge was founded in 2014, and we have a licensing pipeline to drive revenue over the course of the next 12 to 24 months. But I think right now we're not going to give guidance on what those revenues will be.
Okay. I'm just trying to get an idea on scale. Is this something that can be grown with, pump some money into it, add more employees, a bigger sales force, redesign website? Is this something that can go from $7 million to $60 million to $70 million? Is that something that's, obviously that's what you're looking for? I'm just trying to get an
absolutely.
Idea.
So absolutely. So let me separate out Group Mobile and Flycharge for a moment. As we mentioned before, Group Mobile is primarily focused on selling to larger customers, for instance, municipalities, ambulance corps, people that place large orders of rugged computing devices. We think that, as you sort of mentioned in your question, that we can rapidly scale that business simply by adding Salesforce. And we also separately think that we can scale that business by adding additional product lines. So is it something that we think on the Group Mobile side that we could double? Absolutely. I think that's certainly within the realm of possibility to do in the next, call it 12 to 18 months. On the flychart side of the business, the revenues are nascent right now. The product is just starting to get into different sales channels that we mentioned, ranging from automotive to smart furniture. So that's something that, you know, again, I don't want to forecast. New product launches sometimes take time. We believe that the product pipeline is and the licensing pipeline is very strong. But for right now, on the flychart side, I'd like to leave it at that.
Okay. I guess my next question is, you know, obviously what's going on in Europe and around the world really is, I would say, groundbreaking. No one really has, I guess, gone to the lengths that you guys have gone. You know, are there obviously, you know, other than it seems like the stock market, there has to be larger companies and other patent holders looking at this and, you know, or want a partner. Is this something that, you know, we can kind of expect into 2016 that, you know, you have your current litigation and monetization? You know, are there outside opportunities that you guys have been presented with? I know this is a tough question, but, you know, is this something, you know, that you can leverage David's team and the contacts and everything that you've done to kind of grow the IP business, mostly through using the European courts?
Sure. So I guess, it's Andrew, I'll take that for David. I think David's built a team within this company that is unparalleled in terms of their knowledge of international litigation, and I certainly think that you're right. And you can see it in some of the court victories that we've had, right? We have one of two standard essential patents ever to be held, telecommunications standard essential patents ever to be held valid and infringed in a UK court. We think that that's powerful. I think that we certainly can leverage David's team. I think that, you know, just by way of analogy, the IDG acquisition is something that occurred because somebody came to us for patent advice. That happens because of David's team, because they're so talented. I think that companies that want to partner with us, we get calls every day. You know, on any given day, we have a deal pipeline that we track that's, you know, that includes dozens of companies that would want to work with us. Again, I can't really elaborate in terms of the nature and scope of that, but that is something that happens consistently, and I think it is for the exact reason that you cited, which is that I think that there are very few teams and companies that have performed an enforcement strategy the same way that David and his team have.
I appreciate it. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Michael Solomon. Please state your question.
Hey, guys. Congratulations.
Hey.
Okay. It looks like your competitive edge with FlyCharge is that it's more powerful than the competition, and I understand that you're in the actual vehicle to charge devices. Have you guys looked at or do you have any plans to charge the actual vehicle themselves?
That's a great question. So with the conductive technology, that is absolutely something that we've begun to look at. Like with any device that would be charged, you need the exact specifications of, in this case, a car that would be charged, and we'd need to further understand the capacity that's needed. But it's certainly something that the technology is ultimately capable of doing, and something that, you know, in the future we would hope to develop the relationships to build upon that.
And thank you. There appears to be no other questions at this time.
So I just want to thank all of our investors for being supportive, and thank you all for joining the call this morning.